Dear friends of Jesus Christ, the true and only foundation for our faith, we read from God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? They are ministers through whom you believed, and each served as the Lord gave him his role. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but it is God who causes the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters are united, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For God is the one whom we serve as co-workers, and you are God's field, God's building. In keeping with the grace of God given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. But let each person be careful how he builds on it. In fact, no one can lay any other foundation than the one that has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. These are God's words before us today. We ask the Holy Spirit's blessing as we consider the theme of our text, that Christ is our center. We think about that as individuals, but also as a church. We think about that during Christmas time, but also in every other phase of life. And we think about that God would bless us with true clarity and peace. So we've arrived again at another Christmas week. Another year has gone by. And in 6 days, the celebration will occur. The long anticipated day will arrive. I'm willing to guess that if I asked how your week is going, the honest answers would admit that it's filled with its share of stress and worry and busyness. We go through the same cycle each year, don't we? Just as often as Christmas arrives, so also the things that come with it, maybe the unpleasant things we don't like. We highly anticipate the holiday season, but when it comes, it's often very difficult to get through. How is it that the very season which is meant to bring us the message of peace in our Savior Jesus often becomes a source of stress and anxiety? Well, there are several ideas that fill our hearts that cause this. Are we ready for our guests and family to visit, or for us to visit them? Are all the preparations for the Christmas dinner and celebration ready to go? Are all the gifts purchased and wrapped? Did we get all our Christmas cards sent out? Did we get to the light show, our family tradition every year, or did we get our own lights up? Are things tidied up at work so I can enjoy a few days off? All these thoughts fill our minds around Christmas and many more and lead us to feel the busyness and the worry of life. And because of that, the Christmas season can feel like a burden on us. We add these events and these activities because they're important to us, but the more we add, the less value they have. And what seems to be the inevitable consequence each year is that because we add so many things to Christmas, it actually detracts from the whole point of it all, spending time with Jesus in His Word. In our text, Paul doesn't address Christmas. But the reason we think of these words this morning is because they speak to the same problem, the same reason why Christmas can become so burdensome. The point of this section from Paul was to remind the Corinthians that Jesus is the center, the foundation, as Paul writes about in the text. In terms of strength for the believer's faith, Paul says there is no other foundation. There is nothing that compares. There is nothing that measures up. There is no substitute for Jesus as the center of our faith. No one can lay another foundation than that which has already been laid. A few weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus was the author and finisher of our faith. Exactly the same thought. Everything starts and ends with Jesus. He is the center of it all. So if our lives are not acclimated to that truth, we're going to feel worriness and stress and busyness. Jesus is the only one who is the foundation, because he's the only one who has saved us. He's the only one who can fill in the deep spiritual needs that we have, the things that all the distractions of life cannot ultimately overcome. But we also see this in the way that Jesus builds growth in our faith and makes us strong believers. Consider the simple picture about this that Jesus presented in his ministry. Paul puts two here in our text, one who plants and one who builds. Very simple pictures. But consider the picture that Jesus used in his ministry. He said, the wise person builds his home on the bedrock, on the rock that does not shift, that does not move. The foolish person builds on the sand that is unstable and changing. We're familiar with that simple illustration by Jesus and that familiar analogy. And in his own words, the picture comes down to this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. That's what makes the difference between the person on the rock and the person on the sand. And just as Paul talks about to the Corinthians in our text, that's what makes the difference between the person who's growing in faith, whether that be like a plant or like a building, and the person who feels stuck and lost. How the Word of God is used in your life has a lot to say about the foundation that your faith is built on and whether it is truly on the one foundation of Jesus. So why was Paul telling this to the Corinthians? And more importantly, why do we think of it today on the last Sunday of Advent? Well, the answers to both scenarios are the same. Don't let anything get in the way of Jesus. The Corinthians' struggle in this way involved their work as a church. They were allowing factions to exist and even to grow based on their personal preferences with the leaders that preached the Word of God to them. Paul described this in chapter 1. He says, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? They had allowed these foolish divisions to enter their midst based on their own opinions, their own thoughts about what was best, their own preferences, and it was creating a real problem for them because it was getting too many distractions in the way of the true center. The conclusion of Paul's rebuke in chapter 1 was this, I'm making an appeal to you using the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that you all express the same view and not have any divisions among you, but that you be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Was Paul saying by those words that they had to all agree on the same opinion, the same personal preference? No. Paul was saying, when Jesus is the center of our faith, what we use to make the basis of our agreements will come from his word. And God's word is true. It's objective. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of our own opinion. If the differences we have with other Christians or other people are based on the Word of God, that means we're keeping Jesus as the center. But if the differences are starting to divide us on preference and opinion, it means we've strayed from that foundation. These petty divisions in the Corinthian congregation were causing them to go in separate directions and were affecting their work in the ministry. And this predicament was extremely dangerous for their overall church and for their witness of the Word of God. And that's exactly why Paul wrote this letter to address it. In chapter 3, Paul again connects what he introduced in chapter 1 by declaring, what is Apollos? What is Paul? They are ministers through whom you believed, and each served as the Lord gave him his role. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Paul brought the Corinthians back to what they needed to remember. It's not about the person, it's about God. God is the only one who can cause growth. Paul didn't just argue for this point. Paul didn't just lay it out in a logical way. He expressed it that way, but he also stated that Jesus was the foundation and why. In chapter 2, Coincidentally, right in between Paul's introduction of the problem and how he addresses it, Paul provides the meat of the solution. Paul began chapter 2 by writing this: "When I came to you, I did not come with superior speech or wisdom in order to proclaim to you the testimony of God, for I had no intention of knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul brought them back to the center of their faith, to the middle of that foundation, the grace of Jesus Christ through His death on behalf of fallen sinners. The problem the Corinthians had was that they were allowing the spectacle of worldly wisdom and philosophy to dominate the way that they thought about their faith and the way that they practiced their faith. And it detracted from the message of Christ crucified. And Paul said, this is your issue. When I came to you, I cut away everything except the message of Jesus and Him crucified. The focus of the Corinthians loaded their ministry down and their faith down with unnecessary burdens that were difficult to bear, that caused division and strife. They thought they were important because they were important to them, just like all opinions are to us. But they failed to consider what was important to God. Paul cut through the fluff by bringing them back to the truth. Nothing is more important or more influential in our lives than the message of the gospel of Christ crucified for us. And that alone is what God uses to cause growth. Paul's point to them here is that if a point of human wisdom or philosophy did not serve Christ crucified, did not serve the gospel message, then it was not to be on the foundation. And so the one who delivers the message and the way the person delivers the message is not what's important, but rather the one who gives growth. So how do we know today in our church what battles are worth fighting for? When God calls us to have no divisions in our midst, so we need to fight the battle to work on it. And what other issues maybe are not so important? I'll go back to the simple words of Jesus as an answer. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them. That's how we measure what is worth fighting for. The same God who gives growth also guides us through His word as we seek to be joined with fellow Christians around that word. It is not good for us to go our own separate ways and just believe what everyone wants to believe for themselves, but it's also not good for us to divide on those things. God wants us to fight for what His Word speaks to us, what His Word teaches us, and to let that be our guidance as well. So the Word of God, in which the gospel is contained, not only provides the measure that we use to analyze our faith and our work in the ministry, but it provides the very way that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Of course, the Corinthians' lesson is one of many. There are no shortage of ways that false divisions and unnecessary burdens can occur in churches and in individual Christian lives. Oftentimes, things like membership size or your church building style or the latest marketing ploy that you're trying to use to attract people or maybe political leanings or new ideas, all those things often become the most important talking points. But those are just non-important things and fluff that detracts from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people today feel that by adding those things in, by taking into account human wisdom and philosophy and the ways of the world, that we can be better at our ministry as a church. But it's actually the opposite. When we shift the substance of our faith and what is most important, when we shift the priority of what we're spending time on and what we're speaking for, there are going to be changes that result for us and for our church as well. Paul cared enough about one occurrence of this happening to the Corinthians that he wrote them an entire letter to address it. We should give equal consideration to carefully analyzing, in light of God's word, the places where we place priority on different things and be ready to change and correct if God calls us to do so. The goal in such a pursuit is not to become a better Christian. It's not to show how our assembly or our faith is holier than someone else's. The goal is to highlight Jesus. The goal is to bring us back to the center of truth and the center of salvation. Not only so that my witness to others will be better and more profitable, but also that my faith and confidence would be in a safer spot to weather the storms of life. The benefit of having Jesus as our center is that it brings greater honor and praise to His name. It also brings greater clarity and meaning to our message. But most important of having Jesus as the center of our faith is that it ensures that we are truly believers who are in God's family by faith, the one who is causing growth, the one who gives life. It's not just issues within the church that make me need Jesus as the center. It's also the personal struggles that I have, the pet sins, the failed attempts at combating temptation, the distress and frustration of living in a fallen world, the heartache and pain of anxiety and disappointment and loss. These daily struggles act like more distractions that Satan throws into our lives to try to keep us from thinking about anything but the true source of joy and peace, what Jesus has done for us. When Jesus is your center, when He is your top priority in faith, when He is the one you're receiving through the Word of God and through the sacraments, when He's the one that you're communing with daily and weekly, you truly can get through any scenario. You have peace in any storm. You have forgiveness in any moment of weakness or failure. And as Paul would tell the Romans in a different letter, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. Likewise, when it comes to the season of Christmas, remember what it's all about. We often say Jesus is the reason for the season, but does that change the way we think, the way we practice our faith, the way we use the Word of God? Very often, a catchy saying like that is not going to change the way that we act or the way that we use the Word of God. Real change is kind of like real hope. Neither is found in human philosophy or wisdom. Neither is built on a catchy saying. Real change and real hope are found in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the eternally unique and enduring foundation of our faith, the rock that does not change. When Jesus and His birth, death, and resurrection remain the center of our lives, it cuts through the clutter, it cuts through the distraction and busyness, and it gives us clarity and peace. What a blessing, especially around Christmas time when that is so often needed. But let us remember also a blessing for any day and any season of our lives as God leads us by His grace, ultimately, to our home in heaven. May that gift be something that is yours this Advent and Christmas season and on into the new year, and may you fight for it through the Word of God. Amen. Please rise.